problems work out right or wrong. My baby don't like anything I do. My teacher seems to feel the same way too.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Did your vehicle survive 145 days of sub-zero temperatures this winter? If so, it deserves a participation trophy. Months of torture on your vehicle's systems like suspension, brakes, and fluids really takes a toll. Spring into action with Glacier Garage and bring your rig in for the maintenance it deserves. At Glacier Garage, our technicians will inspect the key systems winter loves to punish and make sure your car is ready for the roads ahead. Don't wait for a small issue to become a costly repair. Call Glacier Garage or find us online at glaciergarage.com. And after this winter, we all deserve a participation trophy.
If you're a shooter, you know that the one thing you always need more of is ammo. But with today's prices, you feel like you have to take out a second mortgage just to stay proficient. Well, not anymore, thanks to 907ammo.com. 907ammo.com is your locally owned and operated outlet for a wide variety of calibers at a great price. And if you live on the road system, delivered right to your door. Go to 907ammo.com right now and put it in the cart, pull the trigger, and see it on your doorstep in just a couple of days. 907ammo.com, the last frontier's online ammo delivered.
2 years in a row, our friends and neighbors have spoken loud and clear, voting McKinley Orthopedics, Sports Medicine, and Spine the best sports medicine clinic in town. We are very honored and humbled to accept this award. We love being able to help our community stay healthy and active. From the Nanox to high school and Pee Wee sports, we are always available to help you and your kids get back into the action. In fact, our kids probably play right next to yours on many of the teams in town. So if you have a sports or recreational injury, come see our team of providers. You want to perform at your best, so make the best sports medicine doctors in town part of your team. McKinley Orthopedics, Sports Medicine, and Spine, open every day but Sunday till 8 p.m.
KFAR weather.
A blend of clouds and sun today with a high of 58. East winds 8 to 15 miles an hour. cloudy tonight. Slight chance for isolated showers, 40. Slight chance for scattered showers tomorrow. Highs level off around 54. Overcast. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Derek Height.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
You know, they don't make a car silent, just like they don't make a firearm silent, but they certainly do reduce the noise. And in the case of firearms, it's, you know, reducing it to a much safer level, especially when used in conjunction with traditional hearing protection like muffs or plugs.
And so there are changes happening on the federal level right now. The One Big Beautiful Bill made some changes, but there's a few changes coming still.
Yeah, ATF just announced a huge regulatory reform package yesterday, just minutes after the Senate, including Alaska's own Lisa Murkowski, voted to confirm a new ATF director. It's one of the first Senate confirmed directors in quite a few years for that agency. And so they're making changes, but also as just the popularity of suppressors has grown significantly in the last couple decades, they're just becoming much more commonplace. A lot of the stigma and myths surrounding these devices has been eroded away, as it should be. You know, false information about those devices, and people are just starting to recognize that they're useful hearing protection tools, useful safety devices, and help make the shooting sports and hunting activities more enjoyable and safer for you know, everyone involved, including, as you mentioned, you know, hunting from a horse, bird hunting with a dog. You know, it just protects everyone that's involved in that activity.
Well, in our efforts to recruit and retain hunters, anglers, and trappers, you know, we've really destigmatized some of the, you know, those of us who wear our hearing protection all the time, those of us who are taking other health precautions in order to enjoy the great outdoors and pass on our heritage to the next generation. You know, there's less bravado. We're concerned about our hearing. You see little ones at the range, you know, with their big earmuffs on, and you know, we're talking more about the health and safety aspect of these things. So changes are coming on a federal level. I see that, and many of us have been talking about why that's a good thing for revenue. The listeners here on Problem Corner well understand the Pittman, Robertson, and Dingell Johnson user pay system. If we're selling more suppressors, is that adding to our ability to manage for conservation?
It doesn't currently, you know, directly. There is no federal excise tax on suppressors currently. But as you mentioned, through our retention and recruitment efforts, you know, the more people that are involved in the shooting sports, there certainly will be additional PR tax that's collected on, you know, new firearm sales, hunting licenses, ammunition sales, you know, all those things that go along with it. So while the suppressors themselves are not directly impacted the Pittman Robertson tax revenues, you know, a suppressor can't be used to hunt anything in and of itself. So it has to be paired with that firearm and that ammunition and someone with a license and such.
I'm glad that you brought up the shooting sports, because that's been another part of the discussion, is that, you know, hunters do pay into conservation, but every piece of ammo, a lot of these folks, the youth that are on a rifle team, every round of ammo is contributing to conservation management. And that's why we have special federal dispensation for match to increase the or to decrease what we have to come up with for our match, increased funds for shooting ranges, indoors and outdoors. We've got a couple of beautiful facilities here in Fairbanks that were done that way, down on South Cushman. And a lot of our listeners will go there before work, not just to sight in right before hunting season, but throughout the summer to go practice. And, you know, being the deterrent that comes from either large recoil or large sounds when we're recruiting other shooters to come do what we love. We've all been there. We bring someone to the range and they say, gosh, you know, I mean, I kind of like it, but there's a bit of a deterrent.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, new shooters, young shooters, you know, shooters that maybe aren't used to using a higher caliber that you might use commonly for hunting, it certainly can be a deterrent, and a suppressor is a great tool for helping mitigate that. So in addition to reducing the sound, the concussive blast of the cartridge. It also helps reduce recoil, reduce that kind of flinch, that anticipation of that recoil and that concussive blast. So we see a lot of new shooters and hunters that improve their marksmanship skills very quickly by removing those sort of
a barrier to enjoying the sport or it becoming proficient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just as you're training someone new and they've got a big heavy set of muffs on with plugs underneath and things, it's hard to hear. It's hard to hear instructions. It's hard to hear that one-on-one guidance from an instructor or range commands and things like that. So, instead, if you're using a suppressor and then in conjunction with that a set of plugs, it just makes it a lot easier for a shooter to hear those instructions and just get good at the practice of shooting.
Well, and suppressors make good neighbors. We here in the Fairbanks North Star Borough, we have several places around town where there are some private, shooting ranges, or someone has built something underground, but the neighbors can still hear. And they're usually well known. And our outdoor shooting ranges, it's usually well known and disclosed by realtors what you're buying a house next to. But it cycles about, once every 10 years, you get someone who has bought this and they think, boy, now I really want to get rid of this. And we all have to come out and say, no, the range was here before you bought the house. But if everybody was shooting suppressed, then, there'd just be a little bit less user conflict, a little bit less annoyance to the neighboring homeowners. And they mandate this in Europe, right?
Yeah, there's a couple of countries that certainly very strongly encourage suppressor use. There's a lot of Scandinavian countries that don't really regulate suppressors the way we do in the U.S. They, maybe regulate firearms differently than we do here. But in general, a lot of European countries, if you have a license or a permit to own a firearm, then in conjunction with that, you can buy the suppressor that matches that firearm or multiple suppressors. So Europe has opened to the idea of suppressors for a lot longer than the U.S. has, although that is changing here in the U.S. Just this year, we've crossed the 6 million mark of registered suppressors in the U.S.
Wow.
And that's a huge, huge growth just in the last 15 years. When ASA was started in 2011, there were only about 285,000 suppressors in the registry from the prior, 60, 70 plus years since the NFA was enacted in 1934.
And has that increased exponentially since the removal of the $200 tax?
It has, yeah. We're seeing double or even triple the number of applications that are going into ATF, so far in the first 4 months of this year. So the tax change took effect on January 1st. And there was quite a significant spike that first month in just people that had kind of been waiting until the tax changed. But even in the subsequent 3 months, they're seeing 2 to 3 times what they were normally seeing at this time last year.
And that's a good thing. So we're going to be going to a break here soon. But before we go to the break, can you tell us, we've seen that change, and then what are the changes that are on the horizon? Because we're dealing with a piece of legislation at the state level, but it's tied to pending federal changes. Can you explain those to us, Owen?
Yeah, there's a couple things that are happening. One, there is a federal piece of legislation. As you mentioned, Don Young was one of the early pioneers of this piece of legislation, and it's been reintroduced in each Congress since. It's called the Hearing Protection Act, and it would remove suppressors from the regulations of the National Firearms Act and treat them like a normal kind of rifle, pistol, shotgun, where you would go to your dealer, undergo a background check, complete the 4473 ATF paperwork, and then out the door you go with the suppressor. So no more registration under the National Firearms Act, and of course the tax, which has already been eliminated, would stay eliminated. So there's legislative approaches to this. Also, since the tax reduced to $0, we have several federal lawsuits that are challenging the constitutionality of suppressors still being included in the National Firearms Act. And maybe after the break, we can chat a little bit of the specifics on the court cases.
Yeah, we've got about another 90 seconds before we go there. But this seems to make sense, especially when we're treating this rightfully as hearing protection. There's no additional fines, fees, and taxes or hurdles that I have to pay to have, you know, either my earplugs or the big muffs. And we're talking more about taking care of our bodies and taking care of ourselves so that we can participate more fully in these pastimes. And, you know, the people around you might not always have their hearing protection on, but when you have a suppressor, then we're eliminating the need for everyone to be wearing these big bulky muffs.
Right. Yeah. It's just an engineering control that we're trying to control noise at the source rather than the receiver, which is our ears. And, you know, as we learn more and more about, you know, how these the concussive effects of firearm noise affect our bodies, we're learning that maybe traditional hearing protection muffs and plugs are not as effective as we once thought they were, really, in preventing hearing damage while participating in the shooting sports. So, you know, using those traditional devices along with a suppressor really helps compound. It's kind of like, you know, using your seatbelt in the car,
yes,
even though you have an airbag, you're adding these effects on top of each other, and it's making for a safer experience.
So we'll have some Daft Punk and some Fox News and some ads, and we'll be back with Problem Corner.
Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at KFARradio.com.
Countries all around the world feeling the impact of higher energy prices. Today outside the White House, President Trump admits the price of oil is high, but he says it'll come tumbling down following the end of this war with Iran.
Gasoline's high, other prices are way down, but gasoline's high. But when this is over, you'll have a world without a nuclear weapon with Iran.
Some energy industry analysts have said it could take months or years for prices to return to pre-war levels, given the extensive damage to infrastructure in the Middle East. A new congressional map passing Florida's legislature could give Republicans four more seats in the House. Governor Ron DeSantis on Fox and Friends talks about the need for this redistricting.
The Florida today is not the same Florida of 2020. We've netted 2 million people.
That's right.
We've had a massive change in demography.
Democrats have pushed back on this effort. America's listening to Fox News.
It's time for your Alaska News Minute.
In some fun news, a Florida man is planning a trip to Alaska for an unusual reason, that is, delivering food for Uber Eats in all 50 states. I really enjoy traveling, and I was trying to look for something to do that I can do in all 50 states, said Mike DiMauro in an interview Wednesday with Alaska's news source. Originally from Massachusetts, but now living in Orlando, DiMauro said that he came up with the idea after sitting at a traffic light in New Jersey. I turned on the app, went online just for giggles. Next thing I know, I had a delivery in New Jersey. So I was like, this could be some kind of game changer, he said. After learning that drivers could deliver for Uber Eats no matter what state they are in, DiMauro said he came up with a plan to deliver for Uber Eats in all 50 states. I'm at 38 plus Washington, D.C. right now, he said, and I'm trying to get the remaining 12 done this year because it's America's 250th anniversary. So I'm calling this 50 for 250. DiMauro is autistic, and he also said he wants to use his mission to help inspire others.
Streaming live online at KFAR660.com.
Hi, it's Chuck Indereaton, your host for Shooter's Corner, the show dedicated to firearms conversation and education and the shooting sports. You'll be on target for fascinating guests, expert tips, gear reviews, plus thrilling stories. Get the lowdown on local 2A events and more. You won't want to miss a single episode. Join me, Chuck Indereaton, every Thursday morning at 11 for Shooter's Corner, where precision meets passion. Sponsored in part by Rogers Auto Repair. Listen right here on KFAR 660 AM.
When Tuesday rolls around, Big Daddy's Barbecue turns up the heat. That's right. Every Tuesday, get Big Daddy's mouth-watering slow-smoked ribs for just $2 each. Yeah, you heard it. $2 for the ribs everyone in town can't stop talking about. Bring your friends, your family, or heck, bring your whole crew. At that price, why not? So swing by Big Daddy's Barbecue this Tuesday and stack your plate high with the best ribs around. Big Daddy's Barbecue, the northernmost southern barbecue on Wickersham between 1st and 2nd downtown.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
And we're back on Problem Corner. I am Jennifer Uhas, filling in for David Prues. He's taking some much-deserved R&R. And this is the first day of Better Hearing Month. Thank you to our sponsors from the Ear, Nose, and Throat Clinic. And we are talking with Owen Miller with the American Suppressors Association. Welcome back, Owen.
Thank you.
So before we went into break, you were running us through some of the changes that are coming at a federal level that is making it more accessible for us to have access to this type of hearing protection at the source rather than at the receiving point.
Yeah, so suppressors, again, are just a common use hearing protection device for hunters and sportsmen and women to use while enjoying the shooting sports and protecting their hearing. And so they're, as they've become more popular, there's sort of been this groundswell of activity to make it easier for law-abiding citizens to obtain these devices. So since 1934, under the National Firearms Act, suppressors were subject to this punitive $200 tax that was added to each transfer of the suppressor. And as part of President Trump's One Big Beautiful Bill this last year, that tax was reduced to $0. So the registration requirement still exists under the NFA, but the tax has been eliminated, which was fantastic for those folks that wanted to be able to obtain these devices. And it was maybe cost prohibitive before that.
And well, it seems like when they were included, they were viewed as some sort of exotic apparatus that might be unnecessary. And now we're realizing that this is really, really is a hearing protection method that we should have access to.
Yeah, there was, you know, looking back at the congressional record as the National Firearms Act was debated back in 1934, there's very little mention of suppressors in that discussion, if at all. And so we don't really have a great historical understanding of why they were included in the NFA in the first place. You know, a lot of people have kind of pointed to that we were in the throes of the Great Depression.
We were still driving cars that you had to crank with your hand to start.
Yeah. And so
nobody had seatbelts or airbags.
Yeah, there's some anecdotal evidence that maybe it was to prevent or reduce poaching. There's some mention of, you know, mafia and gangland violence, you know, in the 30s and things like that. But that really isn't reflected in the congressional record. So historians are kind of left to guess as to why they were included, maybe as an afterthought. But fast forward to today, the tax is eliminated. And so that starts to bring into question, well, why should these still be regulated under the National Firearms Act? So in 1937, there was a Supreme Court case in relation to the NFA. And the Supreme Court upheld that this was part of Congress's authority to levy taxes. But as recently as 2012, there have also been Supreme Court cases that say, well, if it's a tax that doesn't raise any revenue, then it's not really a tax. And so that has given us a window to challenge the inclusion in the National Firearms Act for suppressors and a few other NFA firearms, that this really isn't constitutional for under Congress's authority to tax if they're not raising any revenue or bringing in any taxes from registering suppressors.
And when they were on the list, I mean, they were pricing themselves out. So, you know, the sales are down, so the revenue is down. And then again, looking at them, I mean, are we taxing hearing aids and are we taxing earplugs?
Right, or taxing mufflers on cars.
Right.
You know, those are items that are encouraged, in fact, even mandated under state and federal law that they be used on your vehicle. So, you know, why should we tax or register suppressors for firearms?
And, you know, we went going back to the shooting sports, you know, in the 30s, you know, possibly thinking about, you know, poachers and only relating to hunting pastimes. But it really, the shooting sports, not everyone in America has the ability to live where you and I live. I know you're down in a state where you have rural access, but, you know, there's a lot of people who are going to indoor ranges and families are doing this. There's a lot of scholarships out there for rifle teams and people are getting into match pistol competition, you know, thanks to, you know, some promotion from the Olympics. You know, now it's kind of cool, and it is simply associated with the shooting sports, which pay a lot into the Pittman Robertson Fund. But this is something people are doing who aren't even that outdoorsy. I used to teach at the American Wilderness Leadership School, and I would always wait for that day where we'd have the range day, and, you know, a lot of these kids are pretty outdoorsy. They were real good at fly fishing. They're real good on the hikes. They know how to make a fire. And, you know, there's always kind of the indoorsy kid that, you know, I wait and I see, you know, which one is he going to be good at? Because usually, you know, the sports kids that were good at basketball and other stuff, you know, they could pick up shotgun pretty easy. But the indoorsy video game kid, he'd start getting some pats on the back because everybody would have already written him off by day five, right? You know, just not that outdoorsy. And then he's real good at rifle or real good at pistol or real good at archery. And then you pull him aside and you say, you know, there are college scholarships for this kind of thing if you wanted to get into match shooting. And they say, really? But having something like the suppressors is another removal of what might have been a barrier for that kid to get involved or that family to go do things together, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Like you said, you know, it stretches beyond just hunting or just the outdoor shooting sports. It really applies to all the shooting sports. And in fact, I would argue for those that partake in shooting indoors, it's maybe even more important to be utilizing a suppressor. You know, just the science around how sound propagates, you know, sound waves propagate, you know, they reflect off flat surfaces, hard surfaces, the kind of things that we find at indoor shooting ranges or organized shooting ranges that have a metal roof overhead and walls to the side and things like that. So that sound, you know, propagates out from the firearm, but then reflects back to us off these other surfaces. So our exposure and our time that we're being exposed to these noises is prolonged. And
they don't have another choice in their building. You know, we've got the filters are mandated. They have to be able to deal with the lead debris. And so, you know, they have to have that kind of surface. They can't have something like we have at the radio studio here where we're constantly joking about the purple padded room. It's glorious to see. We've got the purple egg carton foam in here, and it's actually got glitter in it, Owen. So, but you can't have that at the shooting range. They have to have the surfaces they have. And then, you know, nerds like you and I are going to look at some of that data, and yeah.
Yeah, I very much nerd out on this data, and we've got a really fantastic audiologist that serves on one of our boards that is a veteran, so he's got combat experience, and he's, you know, studied this professionally for a long, long time. And so he fills my head with all kinds of information on this. But there's some great CDC studies out there. There's some great studies from a group called NIOSH, which is the National Institute for Occupational Safety and Health, where they've looked at noise exposures for shooting ranges, particularly in a sense of both people who work at shooting ranges, so they spend a lot of time on the range, as well as National law enforcement instructors and people like that that spend a lot of time on the range. And they've, their conclusions have been the same, that where it's allowed by law and practical, they should be utilizing suppressors as part of their hearing protection and hearing safety programs. So there's plenty of science out there that supports the use of suppressors as safety devices.
So now that this is being nationally recognized and recognized by health organizations and not just those of us who spend some time at the range or live next to them, we're making some strides under this federal administration. We're looking for a few more pieces to change nationally, and that's why we've preemptively done a couple of bills in different states. When we go to break here, when we come back, I'd love for you to talk to us about what changes are happening on a national level and why it's important to have some of this legislation in our states so that we can take advantage of it as soon as the changes happen, where we're simply being in compliance with what the federal standards are. And which states do you see as being the most advanced? We used to talk about the Vermont model before we passed concealed carry in Alaska that actually still allowed you to have a permit. So then we had the Alaska model. Who are the leading states in suppressor advancements right now that we should be following?
Yeah, we've been working a handful of states this year. Alaska is one of them. I think Alaska has been a leader in this area. You look at the percentage of residents in Alaska that are involved in the shooting sports, particularly hunting, subsistence hunting, much like aviation and so many other topics related to, because of just the unique nature of your state, Alaska is one of the states that's leading the way. We've worked in Ohio this year, Kansas, and a couple others. We're eyeballing a couple other states next year, Montana, North Dakota, that are not in session this year. But those are the states kind of leading the way at making adjustments to their state laws that have probably been on the books for quite some time, to ensure that if there are changes at the federal level, it doesn't negatively impact the citizens of those states and their ability to own and purchase suppressors.
Well, perfect. We're going to go to a break. And when we're back, we will talk about what the Alaska legislature is doing while we're still in session. Many of our listeners are paying very close attention to that and some of the bills that have passed recently. So when we come back to Problem Corner, we'll be with Owen Miller with the American Suppressors Association. We'll see you soon.
More Problem Corner is coming up on KFAR 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
Endless opportunities are waiting for you with part-time service in the Alaska Army National Guard. You have the chance to be a guardian of this amazing state and help protect what makes it so special. The Alaska Army National Guard responds quickly to emergencies and helps citizens in need. With so much amazing territory to watch over, first responders depend on the Alaska Army National Guard helicopters and air crews for critical search and rescue missions, fighting wildfires, as well as transport to hard-to-reach areas. Soldiers also help local communities recover from the damage caused by storms and floods. Your service will also provide education benefits. The Alaska Army National Guard has several assistance programs to help pay tuition costs and other educational expenses so you can get the education needed to reach your career goals. And you can go to school full-time while serving part-time. Learn how you can help guard the last frontier at nationalguard.com/AK. Sponsored by the Alaska Army National Guard. Aired by the Alaska Broadcasters Association and this station.
Store your boat safely and with ease. Trailer trucks, cars, and boats, and don't forget RVs. Great news, Westside. Independent Rentals' new storage location on Chena Pump, just down from the boat shop, is now open and ready to help with all your storage needs. Take advantage of our awesome move-in specials. Call us today, 456-6595. Independent Rental Storage. Safe, secure, affordable.
KFAR Weather.
Sunshine mixed with clouds at times today, with daytime highs approaching 58. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Slight chance for isolated rain showers tonight. Lows dip down to about 40. Cloudy skies expected. Slight chance for scattered rain showers tomorrow. Highs level off around 54. Cloudy skies expected. And that's your weather on KFAR 660 AM and 97.5 FM. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
And now, more Problem Corner on KFAR Radio, 97.5 FM, 660 AM, and streaming live at kfarradio.com.
So we're back for our last segment today, and I'm so glad you could join us today, Owen Miller with American Suppressor Association. Maybe you should have an Alaska chapter.
Yeah, right. We should. We've got about 500 or so folks that we email regularly in Alaska, so I think there's plenty there.
I get those e-blasts, and we had some good news yesterday. We have been closely watching Senate Bill 243, sponsored by a member of the majority, Senator Scott Kawasaki, and yesterday Senator Kathy Tilton made a motion to move that bill cleanly out of committee after some amendments had been considered and rejected. And what's the result of that, Owen?
Yeah, so this Senate bill, as you mentioned, introduced by Senator Kawasaki, a huge thank you to him for introducing this important piece of legislation. What it would do would be to adapt Alaska's existing laws on what they call prohibited weapons that include many NFA registered firearms. And so that bill will strike suppressors from the list of prohibited weapons in Alaska. And there are certain exceptions and exemptions to those rules, and one of them being owned in accordance with or registration under the National Firearms Act. And so if the federal government, if and when, either through legislation or through our successful court cases, were to remove suppressors from the National Firearms Act, we want to make sure that Alaska's law is in line then again with federal law and doesn't create a situation where suppressors would, at least for a period, become either illegal to own or illegal to purchase under state law because of that difference between state and federal law. So we're just trying to be proactive and prevent that from happening.
It's much smarter to do it that way rather than have this gap. And I've seen it so many times in Alaska. Then you have to convene everybody. And if you're in a first session and they haven't formed a majority, then you're waiting and you're waiting for this tiny little cleanup that we could have just done ahead of time.
Yeah, it's just such a foreseeable situation at this point. Like I said, with the popularity of suppressors growing and their acceptance growing, there is a real possibility that they could be removed from the purview of the National Firearms Act in the near future.
As they should be, because they really are a hearing protection device.
Yeah. So we're just really appreciative of our ability to work with Senator Kawasaki, and we appreciate Senator Tilton making the motion yesterday to advance the bill through the State Affairs Committee so that that we can see this bill passed, hopefully.
And it was real quick. It goes to the next committee of referral that'll be heard on Saturday, and there was really no discussion at the committee. Senator Tilton's been a firearms advocate for her entire career, and the committee had some robust debate at their previous hearing about possibly doing some amendments, and through her motion, they chose not to do that, passed the bill cleanly from committee, and we've all been watching. You know, the budgets have been exchanged down there in Juneau, and a few more things have been sent to the governor and have this, you know, little 15 days, except not on Saturday's window, in order to get passed before they gavel out here in May. And this has a real chance. And can there be a lift? This is a Senate bill that's only being heard in the Senate, so it's still got to go over to the House. You and I talked previously about what does that mean in Alaska, because you pay attention to all 50 states. And once we're in the 24-hour rule, that has a chance to make it through the House. But we probably ought to be proactive ourselves and send a message to our House representatives as well, don't you think?
Yeah, absolutely. It will likely go over to House, State Affairs, House Judiciary. So those committees, after it goes through Senate Judiciary, hopefully. So all three of those committees, so Senate Judiciary and then House Judiciary, House State Affairs, would be important folks to contact and just let them know that you want to see this bill advanced. And then, reaching out to your representatives and just hopefully asking them to put the pedal to the metal on this and get it through in the limited time that's left.
If we don't get it out of both houses and a change is made this June at the federal level, we'll be waiting till next February before we can see action up here. And that was the whole intent behind introducing this, was to be, as you said, proactive up front and get this done so we didn't have to wait.
Right. There's certainly been discussion at the federal level in various versions of you know, whether it's reconciliation or just as a standalone bill of trying to deregulate suppressors. And so this certainly has the potential to move quickly, as it did last summer with the change in the tax cost.
Well, and this listenership pays a lot of attention. We got a few texts from Alberette asking some questions that we answered at one of the breaks. And, you know, those of us who read the Federal Register for fun, some of us don't follow sports. And, you know, we see what's on the list each time the Federal Register comes out and we comb the list. Things like that could come out any day, and we want to be ready.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. So, pushing this type of legislation in Alaska will just ensure that there isn't any gap in folks being able to get suppressors who want them, as well as make sure that folks who currently own them are protected if there's a change in federal law.
And we've only got about another 5 minutes left in our program, but what a treat to be able to talk with Owen Miller with the American Suppressors Association about suppressors, which really are a hearing apparatus. You know, we're done making the jokes when Don Young, you always found these kitschy little names and people said, oh, that's funny, you know, the Hearing Protection Act, this is really a gun bill. And it opened the door for having some meaningful conversation to say, no, this is a hearing protection bill. And we're doing this on the first day of Better Hearing Month from our sponsors at Ear, Nose, and Throat Clinic here in town. So, you know, I'm just grateful for the conversation.
Yeah, thank you. You know, as you said, that the science is there to back that these are, in fact, hearing protection and safety devices. You know, we look around the country, there's somewhere on the order of 100 or so million gun owners in this country. We've got about probably north of half a billion guns out there, and yet we only have about 6 million registered suppressors in the country. So there's a lot of room to protect a lot more participants in the hunting and shooting sports and ensure that they aren't saddled with a life of noise-induced hearing loss later in life because of going unprotected or not having adequate protection early in their hunting and shooting endeavors.
And I didn't realize until I saw your demonstration, you know, I knew they were something that you could also add to your firearms. I really thought of them only being on sidearms from, you know, probably seeing that in the movies. But, you know, everything, these can go on everything.
Yeah, absolutely. Everything with a few exceptions, just from the operating mechanisms of certain guns. Revolvers do not suppress well because they have a big, a gap between the cylinder and the barrel, so that trapped gas in the suppressor just works its way back out the cylinder gap, and so they don't suppress well, although there are a few examples of suppressed revolvers out there. But most of your traditional rifles, semi-automatic handguns, break action, even pump action and semi-auto shotguns can now be suppressed. There's several examples of manufacturers making suppressors for those.
That was new to me. I saw that and thought, between the recoil and the noise, that would have made my introduction to shotgun. I'm a rifle pistol basic instructor. You know, people say, oh, well, Jim's probably a real good shot. No, I'm a terrible shotgunner, and I had to do lots of practice, and it was loud and it hurt.
Yeah, it was. You know, we were at an event one time, a Sporting Clays event, and there was somebody there with a dog. He had an old hunting dog there, and I mean, that dog was deaf as could be, and he was introducing his new hunting dog kind of to the sport and trying to get him kind of used to the noise. And I thought, man, if all these guys were here shooting suppressed shotguns, that dog would be ready to go almost right out of the gate.
And you see them, and they just love doing the work, But then why do we have to impact their hearing? Because those dogs that hunt, and we've got an upland bird dog, and so, you know, I'm just using a 22, but, you know, he just loves the work. Why do I have to impact his hearing?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, dogs are susceptible to the same noise-induced hearing loss that we are as humans. And so, you know, not only are you shortening their effective working life because they, at a certain point, they just can't hear anymore. They can't hear the commands. They can't do the work. But it just, negatively impacts their hearing health. And so
their overall quality of life, you know, when you can't, when they don't hear me call them for dinner anymore.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, suppressors are a great tool. We've had some, made some inroads and had some conversations with the American Kennel Club about endorsing suppressors. I won't say that they've fully endorsed them yet, but we've had some really, really great conversations with animal organizations about how suppressors can protect the hearing health of the animals.
And I've seen them at events, and they have their booth, and they've been part of the conversation at some of these national outdoor heritage events that we've both been to. And so I just really want to thank you for the information today, Owen Miller with the American Suppressors Association here on Problem Corner. Thank you for the education on, in general, hearing protection, on Supreme Court cases, on what's happening on the federal level, and what we can do here in Alaska, with the next step being contacting our House members and anyone else in the Senate saying we need this hearing protection legislation so that we don't have a gap between what's allowable federally and what we're stuck with in Alaska at the time.
Yeah, thanks so much for having me, Jen.
Okay, you take care. That's it for today on Problem Corner. We will be back on Monday with Brett Huber from American Suppressors.